got back on Tuesday, this past Tuesday at noon. It was an incredible 11-day trip that was so much fun. That meant so much to us and to the church that we partnered with as well. But before I share, we have just a short video for you guys to check out. So let's watch that now. Who wants to watch it again? No, I'm just kidding. That was awesome. All right, so will you just pray with me as we begin opening God's word this morning? Lord, I just want to say thank you for the gift of your word, for the gift of your son. God, that through your son Jesus and through his death on the cross, you have brought us all together. Lord, we might all come from different places, not just across the world, but even here in this room. Lord, different stories, different experiences. But God, it is your salvation that brings us together. And so this morning, as we open your word, as we talk about what you've done on this trip, as we hear from students, Lord, I just pray that you would have a message for each of us. Lord, that we would hear from you today. And that we would not leave unchanged, that we would leave hearing a good word from you. Maybe it's just one thought or one encouragement. Maybe it's one challenge or one invitation. Lord, whatever it is this morning, we ask that we would hear you. And we pray. Amen. So we're continuing this series that's focused on real life stories from our church. And it's our story. Talking about testimonies of what's happened in people's lives, what has happened here at Cascade. And I'm excited because I get to share a little bit about our experience in Ecuador. Actually, we're going to start off with a Bible verse. This is from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. And I think, we've got a slide of it right here. It says this: "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" So Ecuador has held a special place in my heart since 2004. So I was interested in a one-year discipleship program that was connected with the Evangelical Covenant Church. That's our denomination. And they offered three campuses. They offered Colorado, and they offered Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and Ecuador. And I'm a city guy who had to take Spanish 2 twice. Some of you guys who know me, that might not surprise you that I had to take a class twice, right? But I was thinking, Ecuador is just not an option. Like, there's no way that I'm going to go down to, like, I didn't, honestly, so Ecuador's in South America. I didn't know that at the time, right? And so, and I'm sure, like, and people, when we told them, hey, we're going to Ecuador, they were like, oh, so where in Central America is that? It's right next to Mexico, right? No, it's just a little bit further south. It's on the northern part of South America. And so I thought, that's crazy, I can't do that. And so one morning in January of my senior year, I was praying. And I distinctly heard, I didn't hear a voice, but it was a thought that wasn't mine. Like, I didn't think it up. I was just praying. And as I'm praying, I heard the Lord say, "Are you ready to go to Ecuador? Are you ready to go to Ecuador?" It wasn't, "Hey, maybe you should think about Ecuador," or "Hey, pray about Ecuador," because I was praying already, right? So, no, it was, "Are you ready to go?" As if I needed to have my bags packed that next day. It could not have been clearer. And so I applied and I got in and I was excited. And so later that summer, my mom had hired a contractor to fix our porch. And one of the guys on the crew, he had worked at the same camp as my wife, Allison. And so, I mean, we weren't married, obviously. I was 18. But here I was, this wide-eyed 18-year-old, and I was talking with this older college guy, and I was just like drinking it in, right? I was like, oh, this guy knows what's up. So I hung on every word. And when I told him that I was going to CBC in Ecuador, he told me two things. He told me, focus on God, not girls, right? Focus on God, not girls. And then the second thing he said was, watch out for Allison Osmakopoulos, because she's a cutie. Yeah, so I met my wife, I met my closest friends in Ecuador, and God used the people and the culture and the language to speak something new into my life. And there's more special memories. In 2008 and 2011, Pastor Paul Thompson helped lead two trips to Ecuador. And Paul was the lead pastor at Northwest Covenant in Mount Prospect. He was the first pastor that I worked for. And he always kept me guessing, always kept me on my toes. And so he was transparent. He worked hard to make people smile, and he sincerely loved the people and the country in Ecuador. And Paul got bumped up to first class on one of our trips because he asked the gate attendant how her day was going and offered her a Starbucks, right? And so they were like, hey, why don't you sit in first class? And you know, you would kind of like feel like that's kind of a shtick, right? Like that, he was kind of like schmoozy, right? And you were like, yeah, this guy, like he's always like working an angle, right? But you know what? Like when you needed it, he would ask you how you were doing. And then you would realize he was being genuine. He was just an awesome guy. And Paul battled lung cancer twice. The first time, he beat it. It went into remission, and the second time, it came back stronger. And he knew it was likely going to be the end. And so in January, we had an opportunity at one of our pastors' conferences to sit together during worship. We talked and we joked. He was always joking around with me. He like slid me over a couple of job offers that for sure, like he was in no place to offer me a job at his church, right? But the salaries were like through the roof, and I was like, maybe you should go. He was just messing around. And so we're sitting together, we're talking, we're joking, and we sang the song, Great Are You, Lord. And the chorus goes like this. It says, it's your breath in our lungs. And so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. So Paul passed away this spring. His family, two girls, they're both married, and one has three kids, and one boy recently graduated from college. All of his kids are doing well. His family's doing great. But I remember on those trips, as we turned every corner, passing mountains and canyons, and if you can go to the next slide, Daniel, that'd be awesome. So we would be driving through the countryside, and Paul would be going around each turn, and he'd be like, guys, come look over here, come look over here. All the kids would go to one side, and we'd turn the next corner, and guys, oh, look at that waterfall, guys, come on. I just thought about him. Every time we turned a corner, I thought about Paul. You know, he was genuinely thrilled to share Ecuador with students and to experience it himself. And so this year, as we returned to Cayambe, I couldn't help but feel the same way. It was a really special opportunity this year. And so there were seven of us returning from the 2016 team. There were four students and there were three leaders. We had 18 total. And our group quickly took to Ecuador, its people, and its culture. And so when you fly into Quito, you're essentially flying into the Andes Mountains. And on the first day in Ecuador, we usually do some tourist things to get kids acclimated to the country and see something special. So if you go to that next slide, Daniel. So this is the view. We took a cable car up to about 10,000 feet on a mountain called Pichincha. And this view overlooks the entire city. So we had a 10,000-foot view of Quito. And my goal for that day was to give kids a bird's-eye view so that they could start praying for the country as a whole. And so that's what we did. And from our view, actually, that mountain right there, that's Cotopaxi. And just off to the left, a little bit further over there, we could see the town that we were going to. We could see Cayambe. So Cayambe is a volcano, and it's located 40 miles northeast of Quito, the capital of Ecuador. It's the third highest mountain in Ecuador. It's the only major mountain in the world whose summit is crossed by the equator, which divides the northern and southern hemispheres, and it's the only snow-capped mountain directly on the equator. And so it's a beautiful mountain, it's a beautiful place, and at the base of the volcano is a farming town named for Cayambe. It's called Cayambe. And in Cayambe, there's a small neighborhood called Huachala. And Iglesia del Buen Samaritano is located right off the highway between Cayambe and Quito. And it serves people in Cayambe and the local areas around it. So I've got a few pictures that I'd love to share with you. If you go to the next one, Daniel. So this is the view from the guest house where we stayed. And you can tell it's a gorgeous place. Go to the next one. This was sunset from our guest house. It was amazing. And then go to the next one too. So this is Richard on the right in the hat and Liz on the left. And they're married. They are the missionaries who help support our teams when we go down there. It's an organization called Merge. And so what Merge does, and the whole goal, is to help churches partner with other churches. So the idea is not that as Americans that we go down there and we bring all of the best idea, everything that we have, and just kind of dump it in the country and run. But the goal is to help churches partner so that the ministry that started while we're there is sustainable and that the local church can carry on whatever kind of projects that we do. So the pastor of the church is called Iglesia Buen Samaritano. The pastor's name is Roberto Espinosa. And Roberto works full-time as an accountant at a local floral nursery and exporter. So you can imagine he works eight-hour days at the plantation, and then he goes home and he does 8 hours of ministry at night. So he is always busy. He and his wife work really, really hard to keep things going at the church. And so it was a huge opportunity for us to encourage Roberto and his wife and the rest of the church the week that we were there. So while we were there, we did two VBSs every day. So in the morning, we would do VBS at a local community called La Reforma. That was more of an outreach opportunity. And in the afternoon, we did VBS at the church. And also, we had a team that was doing construction that helped finish the floors and the walls of their sanctuary. Just a year ago, the church sustained some serious water damage from a rainstorm, and so they had to rebuild their sanctuary. So our team got to help out with that. So as we were preparing to go down there, we found out that we were going to be doing a VBS in this community called La Reforma. And La Reforma is a small community. It's about 10 minutes past the church via bus, and it's an area that's heavily Catholic. So in Ecuador, the difference between Catholics and evangelicals is really there's a huge divide. There's a huge gap, and so the Catholics kind of antagonize evangelical Christians a little bit, I'm not sure why. It's just a really strong prejudice. So when we before we got there, a couple weeks before we got there, one of the women in the church told her cousin who lives in La Reforma that we were coming. And the lady was like, "Hey, I don't think you guys should come. If you guys go, people are gonna they're gonna yell at you and they're gonna throw rocks at you, and they might even threaten the church as well. And so you guys should probably just stay away." We had no idea that this was happening. And so this woman talked, that's what this the cousin of one of the women at the church said. And then right after that, this woman's cousin, her mom, her aunt, got sick. And so instead of going to church and praying about it, she went to a local witch doctor and asked for the witch doctor to heal her, and she paid her to do it. So after doing that, the woman didn't get better. So the people at the church started to pray for her. And once they started to pray for her, her aunt got better. So Miriam, the woman that that went and was talking with her cousin, she went back to her cousin, and her cousin said, "Hey, are those people like who are coming next week, are they with your church?" Miriam said, "Mm-hmm." She said, "Hey, I think you guys really should come." It was incredible. Like, we had no idea that any of this any of this was going on. And I asked the pastor, I'm like, "Why didn't you tell us?" He's like, "Well, we didn't want to freak you guys out, right? We didn't want you guys to be scared." Like, okay, that's cool. It was amazing to see how God prepared a way for us to come. And not only that, but once we were there, the VBS that we did was so well received that the community invited the church to come back and continue doing Christian education with the kids in that community. I later found out that that a lot of people in that community work at these flower exporters, and they make a really a fairly low subsistence type salary. And so the kids who were there are often alone from like 6 in the morning until 6 at night. And so what one of our kids shared this morning as we were meeting together before the service is you see a lot of kids come together and you've got like a 6-year-old bringing like a 3-year-old, right? They're like, they're taking care of each other. So this was a community where we prayed for the kids, and as we were praying, the pastor's wife, Samantha, prayed for kids who couldn't eat, who didn't have food to eat. And so we were serving a community that had great needs. It wasn't the case for all the kids who were there, but a lot of the kids had some serious challenges in their lives. It was a blessing for me to see our kids like just pour into these guys. They had so much fun. So there's if you want to go to the next one, Daniel, one more over. The next one. There we go. So this is at La Reforma, and this is just playing soccer with the kids. But to see our students pour into them and just love on them and hang out with them, it was amazing. On Sunday, a week ago, we were at church, and one of the older members of the church shared during the Sunday school hour, and she was the pastor's mother-in-law. And she's a sweet old lady. She's really, really kind. She actually used that verse that we read from Isaiah this morning. And as she was sharing, she said, "You know, as you guys came to, as you guys came and did VBS, I want you to know that people saw what you were doing." She used kind of like one of those like kind of like creepy but kind of instructive like grandma things to say, right? She said, "I want you to know that the walls have ears and the trees have eyes," right? We were like, what? She was trying to say, people saw what you were doing. Even if like all of these parents, all of these kids' parents didn't come to VBS during the week, even if they didn't see what the students were doing, even if you didn't see them, they still saw the impact that you guys had. And to hear that from them really meant a lot. Some other things that happened at the church in the last 2 years, there was a young man named Andres. Andres, 2 years ago, was up on stage. He was singing and leading worship, and he was just really full of life and leadership in the church. And he was like basically Pastor Roberto's intern. We had a great time. He really inspired us when we were there. Well, since in those 2 years, he started a business. He started a pizza company. He worked at Domino's for 3 years, and he was like, "That's a great business model. I'm going to take it to Cayambe and run with it." And so he started this business, and one night he was out delivering pizzas on his motorcycle when he got in a motorcycle accident. And right after that happened, the doctor said it was unlikely that he was going to walk again. That was in December of last year. He's dating a young woman named Andrea, and she's really wonderful too. She's one of the youth leaders in the church. And when we talked with her, she said, "You know what? The doctors said that Andres wasn't going to walk again." And Andres probably, his life is going to change significantly. But when we went down there and visited when he came to church, he was walking. He started walking in February. Here we are last week on Sunday, and I'm sitting behind Andres, and he's standing, and he's singing praises to God. Likewise, there's a young woman named Karina, and Karina got in a very serious car accident with her aunt, with her husband, and with her 9-month-old daughter. And sadly, she was the only one who survived the crash. She was in a coma for a month after the accident. And I remember it happened about 1.5 years ago, and I remember messaging with Roberto about it. And we were praying about it. They had a huge night for her, a huge concert to help pay for her medical costs. And they weren't sure if she was going to make it either. And miraculously, she came to VBS this last week. And we had an opportunity to chat with her about it. But last Sunday, as we're standing there singing, worshiping together, there's Karina standing, worshiping God. I asked her how she makes it from day to day, and she said, it's just one step at a time. I put my hope in God, and that's all that I can do. So as I'm standing there seeing Andres and Karina in the kind of situation that they're in, I had the opportunity to preach last week, and I closed with John chapter 15. And it's verses 9 to 17. It says this, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other." I couldn't get through that verse last week because I was standing in a room with Andres and Karina, who I didn't know super well 2 years ago, but who I knew a lot better last Sunday. I saw the faith that was in their lives after such difficult experiences, still standing and praising God. And when I read that line, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends." I thought, God has called these people his friends. These people are our friends. And I lost it. Man, you know, they say like a man crying is not a very attractive thing, right? Because you just get all bubbly and like, you know, guys, you think it'd be like one like John Wayne tear coming down, right? But I was choked up. I had to have Charlie come up and read the last line of that because it's true. Because Christ has called us into friendship with one another. He's called us into his body. He's called us, and the Bible talks about us as being more like adopted children of God. We're family to God. God invites us because of what he has done. He invites us into this church, into his church, which is the family of God. And we saw that firsthand in Ecuador. And the Ecuadorians were able to invite their friends into the family and kingdom of God while we were there. They were able to do outreach that they were not sure they were going to be able to do. They told us to stay out of that community. We had no idea. We were just doing what we had planned to do, right? But God had bigger plans in mind for what we were doing. And so we couldn't do it. We could not have done it without your support. We could not have gone without your financial support, without your prayer support. the way that you contributed, Cascade Covenant, to our team, the way that you prayed for us and helped us prepare, giving us opportunities to ask you for support, that meant so much to us. I cannot stress how much of an impact it made. We were able to go and fulfill all of our commitments that we had made to the church. We didn't have to worry about a thing. And you know what? It was one of the smoothest trips I've taken. I kept on like looking at Chris going like, oh my goodness, like this is going so well, right? Like knock on wood, you know, it was just like no one's getting sick. Everybody's having fun. People are connecting. And honestly, we had some incredible opportunities. I want to show you a couple more pictures. I know it's going long, but I promise we're almost done. So this, before the trip, I'm really into graffiti style art. Don't worry, I know there's some law enforcement in the room. I don't do this illegally, right? Like never. People always ask me like, hey, where'd you learn how to do that? But honestly, it's just, I like art. I don't like the vandalism side. Disclaimer over. So Pastor Roberto has seen some of the designs that I've done, like up on Facebook, and he was like, hey, I want you to come paint in my church. All right, sure. Awesome. I have no idea what to do. But as we're getting, like this last year, Grayson Dolan has been coming to our high school youth group. And I don't know how I ended up seeing his artwork, but he's got some like killer designs, like just really talented. And so I'm like, oh, we got to do it. And then we start talking about doing a mural, and everybody else is like, yeah, I want to do it too. Like, I want to paint. So what we ended up painting, it says Cristo Vive. So V-I-V-E in blue, and then Cristo in that little box up on the top. And it means Christ lives. Christ lives. And so we had an, so he's like, you can take this whole wall. We were just like, okay, that seems crazy. But once we got going with it, it just started to flow. And it was one of the coolest opportunities. So Grayson and I had done a couple drawings together, and I was like, hey, let's do a wall. It was one of the coolest experiences that I've had. And the kids, these are the youth of the church. And so they loved it. They were super into it. And I don't know, having a pastor be like, I love your graffiti. It was like a surreal experience, right? To say the least. They also had a little sign in the room that said, don't mark up the walls, right? Don't write on the walls. So as soon as the pastor walked in, he was like, we got to take a picture of you with that. So this was a really great experience. But beyond that, what Roberto said is he said, I want kids to know that they can do unique things. They can be artistic. They can do stuff that's interesting without having to, like, they can do even like art, like graffiti, but you don't have to be in a gang to do it. You don't have to do bad stuff to be in, you don't have to do bad stuff to have fun, is basically what the pastor was saying. He wanted his kids to know that. And that was something that I've thought so many times. I just want kids to have a space to be creative and artistic. And you know what? It was one opportunity to do that, and that was really cool. And go to the next one. So this is just, this is one family. So we've got, there's three siblings in the middle. Abner's the little boy on the top. And then Emily is on the bottom. And in the middle is Melanie. And we actually had a chance, Emma, I think, who's here on the right of that picture, you stayed with them, right? Yeah, so and their mom is Miriam, but Miriam's not in the picture. When I say that it was like family, like they invited us in with open arms. Like it was just the complete invitation into life together. We shared community, we shared faith, we shared songs, we shared in prayer. It was an incredible experience, and we couldn't have done it without you. One last thing, I know some of you might have some guinea pig pets at home. But we actually got to, it's a delicacy in Ecuador. And we got to try guinea pig while we were there. And the hard part, we were at this community night, and it was a community sharing experience. And so as the pastor, you're like the honored guest, right? So they're coming up like two or three times with the thing, and I'm just like, oh, okay. I think Chris and Sam, I think their host family made it for them, so they each had their own personal guinea pig, right? Yeah, actually, it wasn't too bad. It was pretty good. They do it well. So let me tell you this. At the end of John, John chapter 21, John writes, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. There's so many things that happened this last week that I will never, I'll never be able to fully communicate. You guys, I want you to know that your high school students are the real deal. They are willing to go the extra mile all the time. I'm so proud of them. I'm so proud to be their youth pastor. And there were a lot of fun things in that video, but these guys worked so, so, so hard. We were exhausted by the end of the trip because we kept on adding stuff into the trip, and Nikki and Lisa and Chris were like, what are you doing, man? Like, slow it down. I kept on adding stuff to the trip, right? Not we. I'm so proud of the way that they behaved. I'm so proud of the way that they carried themselves, the way that they acted, and the way that they served. They represented Christ admirably, and they did it well. And so I know that they followed where the Holy Spirit was leading. So I want to give them an opportunity now to come on up. So I want to invite Grayson and Charlie and Lauren and Cameron. You guys, come on up here. They're going to share just a couple of thoughts with you of their time on the trip. So if you guys want to come stand right here. So I'll ask you a few questions, and if you've got an answer, just I'll come bring the mic to you. Okay. All right. So first off, tell us your name.
I'm Charlie.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Grayson.
I'm Cameron.
Awesome. Thank you guys for being here this morning. Okay. So the first question, what was one highlight from your trip?
Well, I would say one of the highlights was like staying with this team, because when we got back, it was like really hard being separated from them. It's like separation anxiety. And it was just like so weird not having someone always being there. And it was just a great team to go with. And yeah, it was just so much fun with them.
We got to stay with host families for two nights, and that was super fun because they made food for us, and we got to just experience what they did on a nightly and like their night routine and their morning routine. And they were so nice, and they gave us even like their rooms, and were willing to sleep like all in one room or all on the couch or whatever. And it was just, they were really nice to us.
I thought it was just really fun doing the VBS camp with all the kids and seeing them so excited that we were there and coming back every day for the week. I thought it was really fun to see them.
I really enjoyed the soccer stadium that we got to play in with all the Ecuadorian, church. Yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah, that's cool. So we played a soccer game the last night while we were in Ecuador with some of the guys from the church. So here we're doing all this work, and then at the last night, we finally get to play a little bit. And we played the Americans versus the Ecuadorians. And we were in the lead for a lot of it, but the game kept on, they kept on adding 10 minutes. So we ended up losing, and we're like, what happened? Yeah, we won the second game, but there were like 10-year-olds playing that game. 10-year-olds are really good at soccer, don't get me wrong, but yeah, anyway. All right, what did you learn from the kids at VBS? Like, what was something you learned? Yeah, Grayson, go ahead. Why don't you step out when you say it?
Okay.
Don't break anything.
Your stuff. I learned how like trusting they are with like people. They would like say something to you in Spanish and then just like jump into your arms. Mm. And like you have like no idea what they're saying, but they're just really trusting and like, yeah, it's a good thing to be.
I know Tim already kind of said this, but the way they care for each other as siblings and even as friends. It's not something that we normally see with each other, but they have such a great passion for each other.
I think how accepting they are with everyone, because when we like got there, they were just kind of like Grayson said, they would just like try and jump into your arms and try and have you to hold them and kind of like lift their arms up at you and so you can carry them, and just how like loving they are with everyone.
Well, they didn't like get upset about like the small things. Like I didn't really see that many kids just like get mad. If they didn't get the color backpack they want or like marker, they wouldn't get all mad and like hit their sibling or anything. They just go with the flow and they would use whatever color they had in front of them.
Okay, next question. We got two more questions. What was different about Ecuador? What's something you noticed that was different than here?
Kind of just like the environment. It's more of like a poor environment where we were staying, and just everyone is so like kind with each other, and they all just like love each other and treat everyone as family.
Well, you can't flush your toilet paper. but besides that, they're just like, everyone there is like super happy. Like you don't really see like sad people. Everyone's just really upbeat, and even like in like the hard times, they're always happy.
Well, they serve you a lot of food. Like they would they would serve us like the food like the first couple times, I think, but then we had to tell them that we couldn't do that because we couldn't finish it. Like it was like rice, potatoes, and chicken, and then like, yeah, more just rice, more rice, more potatoes, and it was crazy amount of food.
Everyone just appreciates everything that's given to them there, and I think that's, I mean, again, that's something that we kind of don't see in America as much, just because we have so much and they have so little, that they're just able to take all of the bad and turn it into good.
Okay, and last question, what's something you learned about God, or how did you see God work when we were in Ecuador?
I mean, God just loves everyone regardless of their situation, and I think I have a quote from Jose, who's
he's like the music leader at the church.
And he said, I'm glad you all are here because you want to be here, not because you're obligated to be here. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really important.
Well, it's just that he's like everywhere. And I don't know why, but I didn't really realize that he just, there's so much happiness in the church in Ecuador, and that you don't need a lot to be happy. Mm. Even with little things, you can be the happiest person.
I was kind of going to say the same thing, so thanks for taking my words. just seeing him work through all the kids. I've been talking about the kids the whole time. That's okay. But just seeing them so happy, and even with the little that they have, they're just so happy to sing songs about Jesus, and they get all into it, and it's just really cool.
I learned that, there's a plan. And so I shared my testimony one night during the youth service, right? Or was it, it was like a fire, yeah, with everyone there. Yep. And then I stayed at the Corinna, I stayed at her house home. Yeah. So later that night, after I shared my testimony, she just told me that, well, like a translator told me that she said that that my testimony meant a lot to her, and it gave her a lot of hope for like years to come. Yeah.
That's awesome. So, let's give it up. Thank you guys for sharing. You can stay here. You can stay up. So I want to invite the rest of the Ecuador team to come on up. Ecuador team, come on up, guys. So let me say thank you again, Cascade Covenant, for your support. There's so much more to share, and there's so much we'd love to tell you more. There's some folks are on vacation this morning, so not everybody could be here because it's the last weekend before school starts, right? Here's what I want to encourage you guys. First off, I just want you to know, Cascade, that your gifts and your support, they absolutely helped expand the kingdom of God. And that's what this place is all about, right? It's people coming to Christ. It's people finding God's peace. And it's people's lives being changed because God loves them. And you made that happen in Ecuador by supporting us. And the second is this. It's really easy to say yes. It's really easy to hear God's call and hear God invite you somewhere and to say yes. Just this last week, I got back on Tuesday and I started moving on Wednesday. We finally got all of our stuff into our new house yesterday afternoon. It was a really, really busy day. But I went and picked up a truck from U-Haul. And the guy who owns the U-Haul place in Snoqualmie is a Christian. And he started talking to me about how he's seen God work in the valley. And he said, I've seen guys come to this place. He's got a group that meets on Wednesday nights. He said, I see guys who are ready to, if God calls them to the corner of a street somewhere, they're going to go. If God says go here, they're going to go. These guys all somehow, I don't know how, but they heard God calling them to go somewhere. But it's not just about missions to another part of the world. It's about serving right here in our own backyard. And so God is calling us to follow him. It might be thousands of miles away. It might be just a phone call to a neighbor. But I want to encourage you, if God says go, I'd encourage you to say yes and to follow him. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I'm so thankful for this group. I'm so thankful for the way that they served. Lord, I thank you for my friends who stand here on this stage and also who are sitting here in this room. And this morning, God, I just pray that you would bless us this week, that where you invite us, that we would follow. That when you say, come with me, that we would go. Lord, when you invite us to serve, that we would do it cheerfully. And that we would do it with love and compassion. So thank you for this morning. I pray that you would bless our team as they go back to school and work and normal life. I pray for our congregation this week as we get ready for school again on Wednesday. Lord, we just ask that you would lift up this valley and that you would do something powerful here. So Lord, thank you so much for today. And Lord, we ask for your blessing the rest of this week. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go in peace. Thank you.